Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome.
3 points.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. One first point is about that lady, the elderly lady. It hurts my heart, but I know what she's feeling. So I'm just telling her it's not the small contractors. It's just all over the place. I got a big company in Barbados to do my roof, a big company. The company give it to a contractor. I paid $22,000. My roof is still leaking today. It's 4 years. I phoned up the company and told them they have not come to repair my roof. My problem is I don't be here much. I'm in England. When I come back, I see my bathroom swimming. But that's it. So tell that lady, do not worry. That is how it happens in Barbados. May Motley want us to return. I tell everybody in England, do not go on holiday in Barbados. Do not build no house in Barbados.
No, you could tell people so.
Treat like a piece of dirt.
No, you should tell them what the other WhatsApp told them, which is to get your quotes, get references and so on, and come and build. Come and build your three and $4 million houses here.
Yes, but I had a big
the most beautiful place in the world.
Yes, it's beautiful, but the system, the idea, the rich man comes in and he employ people to do his headache, even if it takes years, he don't care. I'm talking about the person that literally going to live here, the ordinary man that going to live here 24/7. The rich people don't stay here 24/7, they visit. That is the people that feel the pain in Barbados. So, and nobody look. The government don't look out for the poor man. He looks out for the rich man. He wants them to keep coming, but they don't be here.
You have to look out for everybody.
Yeah, but that's what you. Anyway, my second point is, it's about that gentleman in the army that went allegedly. I read it on the papers. He beat up a lady. I am saying chuck him out of the army. He shouldn't be in the army. He need to set an example. You cannot beat up a woman. Nobody. Don't matter who they are. A person's entitled to say what she likes. You walk away from her. Don't beat nobody.
Right. That once it's alleged, we understand it's alleged, right?
Paper, that's why I say it's alleged. Right, I don't know.
They got a lot of things in the paper. You tell you about it's alleged and over the ledge, man. But once it is proven, I agree with you. You have to take action.
Right, that's why I say alleged. So if it's proven, throw him out the arm. There's no discussion there.
Correct.
Just throw him
out. Rastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I am well, sir. I trust that you had a wonderful Christmas and you're having a good new year.
The only thing missing from there is short, but it was wonderful, thank you. But it was too short.
You probably need to go back to camp, Sandy.
Yeah, welcome, sir. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm fantastically fantastic. What about you?
I am good. I just heard a lady say she can't reach Peter Phillips. Mm-hmm. I was about to give you his number so that you may reach him.
Right, I have his number and I was going to share it, but some people try to reach and some people say they can't reach and for different reasons.
I can tell you for a fact that Danny Babb is always at the constituency of St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. And that's no doubt.
Danny Babb was in here on Sunday, the mayor, I call him the mayor. The mayor was here.
But there you go. And I believe that the gathering was a successful event in St. Lucie to start. Mm-hmm. And I believe the lady went and enjoyed herself as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, true.
Corey, things that caught my attention. One yesterday, someone was discussing the fire service move and the response time. Corey, do you recall when there was a fire next door to the fire service at the cinema?
Remember.
How long did it take? And the thing is, the person was saying that buildings were burned flat in the city and businesses would burn if there's no fire service in town. Mm-hmm. Do you recall when there was a fire next to the fire service? Was that saved?
Yeah. Yep.
But
I think a lot of emotionalism and emotions get involved in these discussions, and sometimes people use words very loosely. So they will say, "Oh, burn flat, the whole town there burned down," and they use mm-hmm. these type of phrases because they want to conjure up emotion in the people they're talking to as well. So if you look at it in terms of communication, it's a good strategy, but a lot of it is disingenuous.
Yeah, unfortunately. I thought so yesterday, because regardless of a fire, the location of a fire in town, the response time of the fire service will always be the same, because there's a protocol where all fire units are must respond to a city fire. Mm. And you're talking about St. John, you're talking about St. James, you're talking where to have a fire worthy. There is a protocol for that once there's a fire in the city. And at most industrial areas as well. The second one that caught my attention today, Corey, and I want to give you some lashes of this, because the gentleman, we seem to, a lot of people have bought one for gathering mm-hmm. in January. And it seemed that they don't know what's happening in Barbados. We have a recycling program in Barbados. A number of companies who have set up businesses to recycle, as he said, tin. Mm-hmm. I don't think he knows this. And I thought that you should have pointed out to him that, hey, there's a number of recycling plants that is now taking refrigerators and microwaves mm-hmm. and even old cars.
No, you know it would normally take the lashes from you because it won't be the first. But let me tell you, you have to lash the authorities, not me, and then tell you why. We had a vibrant recycling program going on in Barbados, where they were taking everything, even your ideas. But then mm-hmm. there was this whole idea of the Cahill project. And then there was this reversing of the thrust on recycling in Barbados from my observation. So I used to recycle every single thing you can think about, down to the cartoons, down to cardboard and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. When that occurred, places that I used to call to get my cardboard recycled through my program, they don't take cardboard anymore. They are on hold for this and a hold. The only thing they were not recycling at the time was styrofoam. Everything else, it was about three people, and the Future Center Trust had a booklet out that told me who recycled what. When they called half of them during that Cahill debacle, "Oh, we ain't taking this. We ain't taking this." So when he said that,
things went on a hold then.
Right. You know, but I guess I can correct him with information. I didn't know, because I don't know who taking what now. We need now.
I believe most of the recycling plants now are
back up.
Back on stream.
Running. Okay.
There are two in St. Thomas I know of.
Can I throw away my cardboard now?
No, you shouldn't, because they're recycling still. I'm not going to call you names,
No, you could call you names. No. We need to broadcast that from the top of the mountain top. We got to go to the top of Hillaby and get a blowhorn. Who are the people recycling, like, cardboard and so on now?
But I know it's the Bino group. Mm-hmm. They're in King Garden.
Bees recycling.
And then there's this Scrapman.
He was the one I had called. There was one up by Ocean Park, no name, Ballpark, that used to take the card, and then they weren't taking it anymore.
Yeah, and the other point that he made, though, that mm-hmm. I think is important, mm-hmm. we need to do something with the tires.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Instead of letting them stay up there by Mount Stinker Roof.
Catch a fire every once in a while.
Every once in a while there's a fire. We need ways to do something about the recycling of tires.
The same bees you spoke about sometime back in discussion with one of his principals. I know they wanted to bring in a shredder and, you know, shred them and use them. And they got a lot of difficulty in that as well. I remember I had the Future Center Trust here twice, and we promoted who recycled what. And I definitely know that you're telling me that a lot of them are back up to almost 100% operation. We're going to have to do, it's really a public service, in my opinion, even if it have to be sponsored or whatever. I think that we need to let Barbadians know who is recycling. Because the same lady talked about Aunt B. She used to look at the cartoons, the milk boxes, the juice boxes, and so on, and all that. Right. It says, "I am recyclable," and she could not find a place. And she would make me a pest day in and day out to find out where, because she don't want to throw it away. Now, So that is where, because recycling is effort. And you know, we into an age of convenience. But at mm-hmm. least make it convenient for people to know what is being recycled and by who. That's all I'm correct. Saying.
I have one point I want to leave with you.
Sure.
The building next to the fire service, which is called the Old National Insurance Building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to pose this question to you and to the unions. Because I heard people yesterday saying that the building is still good for use.
Mm-hmm.
Will the union allow people to go into the building? That's what I'm going to leave with you.
Thank you, sir. Salute to you. And always, good hunting. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air. Whoa. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Brastats, good morning. Welcome to the program. Good morning. You're on the air. What happening? Good morning and welcome, Brad Stats. You're on the air.
I can't hear you, but
we don't get to you. We know went through about four calls there, but you are lucky number five.
Oh, wow. Thanks, man. Anyhow, good morning to you once again. Good afternoon. Once again, good afternoon.
It is now 10 minutes before noon, so it is still morning.
It's still morning.
Yes.
Good morning to you all.
Or we could make up one for 2020, pre-noon.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I have three little points to make, and I don't know if you could respond mm-hmm. after. Now, you deal with children, right? And I want to know why so many people are using the word, instead of children, kids. Our children can be kids.
That's one that's get me too. But if you ask me how the kids, I just say them good. And my children too. I got about three or four kids up the road in the farm, right? So I started my kids good and my children too.
Right. That's one I really want.
But small
point.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Now, those waterworks meters are soon to become obsolete. They're going to want checking, fixing, and whatnot.
You mean these smart meters?
The ones that they want, the ones that is now being in conversation about, you got to pay if you want them fixed, if you want mm-hmm. them move and whatnot. You following me?
But they didn't distinguish which meters they make, you know, because I was under the impression, I was educated recently, uh-huh. that there are hoses with the old meters, there are still hoses without any meters, and then there are hoses with the smart meters. I got smart meters so fast that I thought everybody in Barbados had a smart meter. So when they said check the meter, I think they mean any of the meters. But the smart meters are supposed, I remember they said had a life of 25 years or something like that. But the music tells us it's time, we gotta run. We gotta go and find out what's happening with our brothers and sisters across the region. More of the Wednesday edition of Don't Brass Stats right after that. We are back on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats, where you can give us a call. We got some free lines, 434-1790. Give us a call or send a WhatsApp. Number of WhatsApps to read. Even got a letter in I want to read as well. This one says, "Hi Corey, I'm concerned about people who live in gaps with dead ends. They have cars parked and not working in the road. The houses are really close. Some people doing spray painting. And the smell causing asthma attacks. What help can they get? Especially for the persons you have and you talk to them. And they don't even care. What next? What help can be had?" And I had to edit that. But I think you get the understanding of what the person is saying. I received a letter. It also has a picture at the back showing what the person is talking about. I'm going to read this and then we're going to go over to the telephone lines. This one says, "Hi. For over a year now, we the residents of Burton Road, St. Stephen's Hill, have been experiencing difficulty in having access to our homes because an individual has the road partially blocked with used appliances. These appliances are now on both sides of the road. The road is now barely passable. The situation is worrisome. In the case of an emergency, it will be hard for a fire engine or an ambulance to pass. Residents and people who enter the road are forced to reverse their cars onto the main road. The person responsible started by parking his vehicle in the lay-by for vehicles to reverse. He now has a container and there are a number of appliances. There have been near misses with cars reversing onto the main road. Complaints to the police have fallen on deaf ears. Are we to wait until some persons are killed or badly hurt for someone to act? The individual has set up a container over the canal, and so the workers from the environmental department can't get it clean. We are suffering from the breeding of mosquitoes, and the place is now infested with rats that are living in the stores and fridges he has up there. Complaints were made to the Ministry of Health, but nothing has been done to deal with the problem. We've spoken to the parliamentary representative, but nothing has been done. We need help to get something done about this nuisance. When there is bad weather, the road is flooded. We fear that residents could be trapped if these appliances are washed away. What is happening here is not right, and the authorities need to do something about it. It is unfair that we as residents and taxpayers have to continue to put up with this problem at the start of 2020. Signed, concerned resident of Burton Road, St. Stephen's Hill, Black Rock, St. Michael. And the picture here shows this practically road reduced to one way. Lots of appliances. You can see dryers, fridges, stoves stacked up on one side of the road. Whew. How can this person get help? All you wise Barbadians, call in and give us some advice. Give some advice to the advisor. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. 8 minutes afternoon. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Happy New Year to you.
Good Happy New Year to as well. Before you start, I want to make a small correction. And when we're talking about milk, cartoon is actually carton, and cartoon is what you watch. That's what I was told during the break. So fortuitous that we would have you, Sandy, to join us at this time. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you. Yes, it's carton with T-O-O-N and one with T-O-N.
Correct.
It's like courtesy and courtesy. People call the garage up at Wilde courtesy, but it is courtesy garage, Corey.
Yes.
You realize that?
Yes, please.
Now, two things I want to speak on today. One, the pedestrian crossings. I live in St. Peter, so I travel at night a lot to and fro. And as you know, right now, the West Coast is flooded with a lot of tourists. And yesterday, last night, I nearly witnessed a couple crossing the pedestrian crossing. Of course, you cannot see the lines. And the car in front of me nearly hit the two of them. I'm saying, Corey, especially in areas like that, in St. James, where there are lots of tourists, and you know some of these tourists, they jaywalk, they cross when they like.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So what happens is, when the car gets there, without obviously thinking to stop, and they're crossing, it can cause an accident. I think there were some tourists some years ago that got killed like that. So I'm urging the Transport and Works to paint the pedestrian crossings, especially there by Sunset Crest. You cannot see the pedestrian crossing. And I think the pedestrian crossings need to be painted in yellow, a neon color, Corey. Because with the bright white lights, you cannot see the pedestrian crossing. You must try that yourself and see what I'm saying.
There's actually someone who's sent in. Yeah, someone sent in a WhatsApp actually making a very similar suggestion. It was talking about using like neon and fluorescent paint.
You have to use neon, Corey.
Yes. So
you see, these are the things that I sometimes peeve me. And then something happens, oh, we should have done this, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? I am urging them, especially in St. James, right down to St. Peter, where they have all of those hotels and those villas. The tourists cross the road, Mullins Beach, they cross there, I mean, in droves. So what the minibuses that are coming around there at 100 knots an hour, I mean, it is dangerous, Corey, and I'm urging the Transport and Works to paint the pedestrian crossings and to paint them in a color that the drivers and also the pedestrians can see. That's one. Mm-hmm. My next contribution.
Before you move on, I want to read this one so it supports you, and then we can move on. This one says, sure. Hi, Corey. Wonderful day to you and the team. I had a thought. Pedestrian crossings. How feasible would it to have these zebra stripes and bands painted alternatively in fluorescent paint and then glow-in-the-dark paint so that it's easy to be seen? Fluorescent for the daytime, glow-in-the-dark for the night. So the other persons out there, like yourself, who are concerned about these pedestrian crossings.
Yeah, because it is something scary. And if you're a person that is observant, all these little things we want to get right, Corey. We're doing the gathering. We want to get these little, what you call a thing in Girl Guides and Army, paying attention to fine details.
Fine details, yes, the fine details.
You understand what I'm saying? Because people will say, oh, it's just a crossing. It's not just a crossing. And this is not only for tourists. This is for even our local people.
Well, no, all of these one things add up to a good experience at
correct,
the end of the day.
And add up to making your country the best that it should be.
Correct.
The next thing, Corey, I really am concerned with standard English in this country. I think you know that. And dialect.
Yes.
Yes, dialect is good. I do not believe in this thing that people are saying to let the children learn to speak it. You have to learn to speak standard English first, Corey. And then you can use your dialect. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot carry dialect to Britain, to Europe, or to Africa.
But let me ask you this. Let me throw something new in this soup. We got to put some Edwards down here. I have a friend chat with me, and he's on about this for years now. And he was saying that from the primary school level, we should actually introduce oral English on the curricula. And he is saying that it should actually be done also in CSE. So you're familiar with CSE for the foreign languages.
We have an
oral component. He's saying when you look through the entire education system in Barbados, there's no oral component for English. And he's saying that needs to be added.
I just don't come into that, Corey.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm really concerned about our educational system. I think you know that. I have been speaking about this for years.
Yep.
And I'm coming to standard English. You cannot go to those countries and be speaking I going down there. Nobody will understand that. Yes, dialect has its place, but children need to be taught standard English. Brings me to my other point. I am hearing people, senior teachers and principals speaking about, I heard one last week, or there were hookups. She meant to say hiccups. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
And you cannot get on my TV and be saying hookups. There were hookups when the word is hiccups, right? Secondly, Corey, my thing is the teachers need to have oral programs in the school for English, or not what will happen. No one in 20 years would be able to write standard English. And I'm really passionate about that. And you need to have things like dictation back in the schools, right? We are falling away from what we used to do. Okay? It's okay to fall away, but you still have to have certain things that remain, Corey. It's like manners. And thirdly, when you have people who do not know the difference between, I heard it on your program today, the difference between has and have, and there and they, we have a problem. Somebody, I think, called into your program today and said, instead of saying has, they said have. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
But if you don't know that from primary, kindergarten, preschool level, you go through the whole school system, and you don't know. So the next time I come to the air, I want to speak on the middle school thing. Middle school and the common entrance, because you know common entrance is my thing. When I say so, it's not. I'm happy that they're going to possibly look at getting rid of it. And I'm urging the persons who are going to be sitting around the table to embrace and bring in persons who have other alternative ideas to help with fashioning whatever they're going to do with education, Corey. The time has come where we need to bring other people on board rather than all the people with the PhDs and the masters, etc., etc. And I make no apologies about that. So that is my contribution for the new year, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
please.
I will be remaining on it.
Yes, we know
as
that.
As long as I'm following what's happening with standard English, middle school, and the common entrance.
Okay.
So a wonderful year to you and daughters and your children.
And my son.
And I agree, do not call your children nor kids. But schools actually, there are schools actually with the names Kids Are Us.
Yes.
I don't believe in that.
Yes.
I don't believe
it's
that.
Some nursery, kids angel, different things. You know, these things come from, you know, in the great American sun, the point that we had down here. So we got to hug it up.
Yes,
we have to embrace it with both arms, you know. That's
correct.
How we are.
But
you know?
Anyway, you keep doing the right thing as you have been.
Mm-hmm. We continue, Sam.
I will speak to you again on the middle school issue.
I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm looking forward to that discussion. Drop by drop, bucket full up. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Stats.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lean.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I'm well, thanks. And you, how are you doing today?
I'm going finally okay.
Good. What prompted you to call this afternoon?
Well, I am a first-time caller.
Well, welcome, welcome, and welcome again.
Well, yes. Ms. Elaine, I have a problem. Mm-hmm. I have a job that I have to produce a police certificate of character. And for the past 2 months, I'm trying to get, they say I have to call to make an appointment. When I call there, you can't get nobody. The phone just ringing out. You can't get nobody answer the phone. Hello?
Yes, no, what you're saying is true. I listened recently to the Prime Minister's address to the nation, and she mentioned it. So this issue with the police certificate of character is known at the highest level. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It is for us now to see how government tackles the issue. Now, I am fortunate, or maybe even unfortunate, but fortunate to have intimate knowledge of the reason why these things exist. It has to do with international compliance, the way the fingerprints are taken, that they can be accepted across the world. There's a lot of complexities to it. So I do know, but it doesn't excuse it. Because we have a number of people.
I want to know. Cutting
is your program.
I want to know, right? If the phone, if they can't get through it, they say you can't walk in and make a... They should make some other arrangement. Right now, I'm home from work. I cannot work.
Correct.
And
no, that's the real serious issue.
I have to get, if I don't produce the police certificate to correct, I cannot get the job, and the job is there for me.
So how are you getting through amidst this situation? That's the real question here, no?
I don't know who to turn to. Don't matter how you talk, ask anybody, the same numbers they're giving you, and this everybody only know the one way, the same numbers.
But you're out of work. How are you managing? How are you living day to day without...
The little money that you save when it was working, all the money you got to go, that money you use it out now, you have to pay rent out of the same money.
So basically you are surviving on savings.
Yes.
The reason I ask that is to highlight to the authorities listening the turmoil, the personal pain and inconvenience, beyond inconvenience of persons with this system. And so it's about time now that we got this situation sorted. Because as you could attest, to get almost anything done in Barbados at some kind of official level, you need a certificate of character. And if we have on one hand a lot of the authorities and places requesting this, and on the other hand the authorities' inability to deliver it in an efficient manner, we definitely have a major problem on our hands. The question is, how do we fix it?
Ms. Lane, I am a Guyanese citizen, and I supposed to get a certificate of character from Guyana to get the same job in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And less than 2 weeks, the certificate of character come from Guyana for me.
Mm.
And it's a shame that you cannot get one here to get...
It's funny you say shame, because you say how you making me shame here now. You see, because the whole idea of the police certificate of character for me too, when you drill down into it, the name itself is very, very misleading because it speaks nothing to your character. it speaks really to what you would have been convicted to, not even charged with, what you convicted with. So if your character is bad and you were never charged with something, you get a good certificate of character. So that is the thing that we have to even question before we even fix what is happening now. But my concern for you and like a lot of other persons out there is, how are we expecting this economy to get active and growing again, a lot of economic activity, when persons like yourself cannot even get a police certificate of character? It is amazing.
Right now, I don't know what number to call.
No, the number is an issue. So I don't. I'm not even going to pretend.
Or if you could walk in and if they're going to deal with it for you.
My question to you, because I want to move it along, because we're heading towards the latest, is this: are you in a position to negotiate with your employer to see if you could say to them, okay, I will bring it later. I've applied for it, as you would be aware, because most to all people would be aware that we do have this situation where it is a difficulty, and that they can allow you to work in the meantime.
Yes, I work. They do that for me. I work, but it's overdue now.
Oh, it's too long. Okay. So how long you say you were trying to get it?
2 months now.
2 months, and they let you work for like the first.
They give me 4 weeks work.
Oh. And if they had given you more, they would have given you 4 more. You still would be in the position. No, I can tell you. I can tell you something about the number. I had called someone in new dealing with the situation, and I got the number because I thought I had the incorrect number. And when I called the number with them on 3-way to show them what was happening to the number, and one number was saying it out of service, one wasn't ringing at all, it was a total mess, and they had the person on the next line. So they are aware, every single person that is responsible for this, they are fully aware of the system. My question, and I keep asking it, somebody would have to answer now, is where do we go from here and what do we do? Because I want to commend your employer really for giving you the 4 weeks. And I don't know how much more we could beg for, but this really is a tenuous situation. Let me back up. This situation has been going on.
27th of January to produce it.
7th of January. And
27th of January to produce
27th
it.
27th of January. Are they not the job will go?
It's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
And I already started the job, but I just got to get a police certificate of character right now.
You know, for some things, we have no answer. And I'm not one to throw my hands in the air. I am one, though, to ask the Commissioner of Police, the Office of Attorney General, the head of forensics of the Royal Barbados Police Force to redouble the efforts. And I say redouble because I know personally behind the scenes that they were working very hard to resolve this matter for some time. And for them to understand that people's livelihoods literally depend on this certificate of character. And that is the most we can do here to encourage them to step up the fight to get this system working in the manner that is suitable in the 21st century.
Yes.
Thank you very much. This one says, Carla, welcome to Barbados, the slowest people on planet Earth. A pregnant elephant going up Oystein's Hill would beat us in a race. Yeah, sometimes you have to add the brevity to the matter. I can read a WhatsApp or two to take us to the latest. So here we go. Thank you for calling, and I wish you much better on that. Blessed good afternoon, Corey. Blessed 2020. Is the caller earlier about young men under the impression that young men want to work? My response to that? Some do, some don't. Corey, I was home for vacation in December and I went to a restaurant in Hastings. I think that is the name of the street. We were going to sit at the tables there. However, a shower came, so we went in the car to eat instead. To our surprise, if you see the number of rats that came out running, they ran on the table, they ran into the garbage bins and then back on the table. That is a great health risk, putting people's food down there. Putting their hands on the table, to say the least, it was gross. That is something we must be mindful of. Hey, Miss Elaine, I keep asking the question, but no answer. I was one of the persons who had my little disability pension cut. It was given back to me in September, 5 months later. I want to know if we will get back the money that was cut for the 5 months. This is unfair, unfair on the little poor person. Shake my head. I usually make some questions, drop them down in my book when I come here to ask some authorities and try to follow up and get back to persons on this. So I am making this little note. Were the persons who had their little disability pension cut for a period of time, will it be retroactive in giving them back so they could get back that 5 months of money that they lost? That is a question for the authorities. Corey, there's a road that leads from the back of the villages at Coveley over St. Patrick's Christ Church on one straight road. I took that road yesterday and I was shocked at the number of derelict vehicles lining the road. This is a well-populated area with houses on both sides, so I don't think these vehicles could relate to one mechanic because they line the entire street. I counted at least 25 cars and a minibus. It's a real disgrace. Didn't we see a report recently where the minister said he was getting these situations rectified? Leadville is where the person speaks of. What's happening over there? That music tells us it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. More of Down to Brass Tacks when we come back. Okay, we're back on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm your moderator, Corey Lane, backed by producer Dennis Johnson. And of course, good afternoon and welcome to the chat and those on the WhatsApp. And the number of WhatsAppers, and we need to get the calls going again, 434-1790. We are back and ready to take your calls. In the meantime and in between time, let's get some WhatsApps in here, a number of interesting ones. And then we go over to the lines. So give you some fodder right here. Hi, Corey. Over and over, people are complaining about the annoyance they're suffering all during the night because people are flying kites over their homes, stopping them from getting a good night's rest. I am of the opinion that kites can fly without that little part they call the bill. That causes the annoying noise to be made, and therefore I'm suggesting that the government bring a law banning the placement of bills on kites, making it an offense to do so. This would allow the people to continue to fly their kites and citizens to get a good night's rest. Sounds reasonable. Corey, I'm wondering if there need to be more conversations with youngsters rather than just talking about them or to them. Thank you, Happy New Year, and enjoy your day. This one says, good day. With reference to the destruction that is taking place in Bridgetown, how old is the Barbados Fire Service building? Aren't we messing with the UNESCO World Heritage status we hold by destroying these aged buildings? 2. Road paving. Wildey Junction to Upton Wildey Road. This stretch was just repaved, and to my recollection, the said piece of the road was previously replaced and yet is being done again. But one of the busiest stretches that has now been horrible for almost 20 years is still untouched. Who makes these decisions? Breathalyzer law is number 3. Drivers can lose their license if found to be contravening, yet we have minibus drivers out there with more than 100 convictions and still driving. Where also is the meat in the app? What brand or brands are used or authorized? Does the suspect have the right to refuse the test if the said test equipment is not open in their sight, etc.? I can go on and on. Radar guns used by police. What brands are on the law books? How often are they required to be calibrated? Have the ones in use currently ever been calibrated? And to whose standard? We in Barbados implement past laws without going the full mile. The lawmakers always leave loopholes. Is it illegal to drive on the back of an open back vehicle? Yet it is evident daily. And that person goes on to make a number of great points. Let's go to a call and then we come back to some more of these WhatsApps. Good afternoon and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
You know, I wasn't going to call today, but you made reference to a WhatsApp, or I think that we call them, when he was speaking about that Leadville Road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I must say that I when she was there a couple nights ago, and I thought I was in a place maybe where Armageddon had just sort of happened. Because for the amount of old vehicles that were about that place, you know, and the place is, I mean, I don't want to reflect badly on the people who live in that area, but, you know, the place is generally unkempt, and I was making a connection with Coverley, and it was depressing, Corey. So after you read that on WhatsApp, I decided to call in to reinforce, you know, what the person has said. And I don't know if the authorities can do something about it because it is dreary.
Yes, I live in the area. I live close to the area.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry about that.
I don't live in that particular. I live close to. So when I pass through there as a shortcut, although it is shorter, it takes longer because the road is bad. And then you have all of the Armageddon refuge. Now, remember last year, someone raised this, that the Minister of Transport and Works and Maintenance did say that they'll be bringing a policy to clean up this situation, because not only, as you put it, is unkempt, it also can create a number of situations in relation to emergencies.
Of course.
And then, of course, when we have things like the earth tremor, when we have hurricanes and so on, one of the areas about being prepared is to having the foresight to actually address these issues beforehand. Because if we have water and you have a collection of all these vehicles in the road due to the pressure of water passing, these can actually cause lives. And in order to be proactive, we need to treat to the situation now and not wait to whatever comes along and take our lives. So I think this is something we need to act upon now. The other side to this, I want to insert before I get some more commentary from you, is the other side of it is the entrepreneurship. And people on the other side would cry out and say, here I am trying to make a living, an honest dollar. And you have people crying out for the fact of the space in your road. The same thing with the letter I read with the guy with the appliances and so on. The same thing with the mechanics in the cars by the side of the road. How do we treat to people making a living, but also treat to the fact that people want to be in safe environments?
It's the thing about it is, if you're a motor mechanic, there has to be something kind of planning that you would have, you know, to make sure your all the vehicles that you take on don't back up. You know, but the cars out there, you can see the dirt, you know, around the wheels and whatnot. And the whole thing of entrepreneurship, that comes with a measure of responsibility. You just don't just say you're going to put up a stall and do what you feel like. There has to be rules and regulations. And that is really one of the problems that, well, I only can speak of Barbados, but based on what I've been hearing from the other islands, that all of this entrepreneurship, which creates a hustling mentality, and hence you don't regard rules and regulations. So a man comes and he decides to repair something, and halfway somebody brings another vehicle, you say, put it there, man, you know, and then you bring a three, four, and then the whole place is all confused. The health people, I don't want to refer to the police because they're just done, they don't care about their duties, but the health people do not monitor the situation. You know, Corey, it is sad. I am at a position in my life where I can remember people, health inspectors coming through, you know, and carrying out these things. Mm-hmm. You know, we had people who had to travel on the road with well-lighted vehicles, well-lighted bicycles, you know, bells and whatever. And since we got independence, we seem to think that independence means we must do all of these things. We must throw all these things.
I remember in primary school, they had these things regulated. You had to have the reflector on your bicycle and all these things. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that. And that was way past independence. My thing is that I think it was a little more recent that a lot of these systems have broken down. And in your opinion, how can we kind of get this rejuvenation of law and order in this country?